How's it going, everybody? This is Tom Doton, and this is the Information's 411 podcast brought to you by theinformation.com, a news site that covers the tech industry and the world beyond. Obviously, a very tough and upsetting week for many of us across the country following the events last week, the death of George Floyd at the hands of the Minneapolis Police Department, and all the civil unrest and protesting that has followed that event. You know, in our slice of the tech world, there are a lot of really important things to discuss, and some of the questions at hand that we've been thinking about this week are, how can tech firms diversify? How can companies and venture capitalists give African Americans a bigger role, or really any role, in shaping product and financial decisions at companies? You know, how should tech companies be voicing support for racial and economic justice? And so this episode, we are giving some voice to Black women working in tech. We're going to be hearing from a former tech employee and current journalist who has been tracking what tech companies are saying about racism and police brutality. And we're going to hear from a venture capitalist about how some of those statements could translate into who gets funding and who gets hired in tech. And so I've got Corey Weinberg on the line here, who did some reporting for the podcast this week, and he's here right now to talk to us.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Hey, Corey. So why don't you tell us some of the people that you talked to this week and the topics that you dug into?
So first, we talked to Sherelle Dorsey. Sherelle is an Atlanta-based founder of The Plug, which is this cool new news site that The Information is actually backed. It does a lot of smart reporting on the Black innovation economy. And Sherelle is a data journalist and an entrepreneur as well. Last weekend, she launched a public spreadsheet that tracked what tech companies were saying about the killing of George Floyd and what they were saying about racial justice in general. And it was, she smartly, juxtaposed in the spreadsheet how diverse the company's own workforces were. I found it to be a helpful guide to kind of understanding this issue. So she was great to talk to. And she said this moment was unique for the groundswell of statements that you saw from companies. So let's listen to Sherelle.
I was on Twitter, I want to say Saturday morning. I saw Aaron Levy, Box's CEO's tweet about supporting racial justice organizations and making the decision to pledge $500,000 to an organization to kind of help stop the efforts. And it was a very like public denouncing of racism. And just a few years ago, Mike Brown situation in Ferguson, Mike Brown being killed by a police officer. I don't recall at that time even being online that there were any tech companies that had really spoken out against it. So I just asked the question on Twitter, who else is speaking out in denouncing these injustices against Black people in America? And people started to tag me, and I decided to take that information and begin to just start to compile who is saying what. And by the time I'd reached about 20 or so, listings, and send it out, it kind of just spread like wildfire.
So the list has gotten to over 200 names now, and it's everyone from Google to Airbnb to Flipboard. And race obviously is an awkward topic, I think, for these companies sometimes. You know, their workforces are quite white. Facebook and Google, their workforces are 3.7% and 3.8% Black, respectively. Sherelle said one theme generally did stand out in their statements, which is that the statements are pretty specific about supporting Black Americans.
Companies and CEOs and leaders are directly calling things out as racism. There's no coded language here. There's no people of color. It is specific language around Black people, Black Americans. There's a lot of Black employees who are excited and eager to share with us what their employers are doing. And so they've actually been helping us to compile this database by sharing, okay, we made a statement, or okay, we haven't made a statement yet, but we're going to be making a statement on Tuesday. And so that's also been a surprise as well, where they're like advocating and saying, like, my employer gets it, my team gets it, and we are working hard to continue to make sure that we're supporting these initiatives and causes. And they're excited to be seen.
So of the commitments that various companies had made in the wake of what's been going on, I mean, what of them kind of stood out to you from the different tech companies? It's not like you can just make a commitment publicly, say you're going to do something, and then wipe your hands and walk away from that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some of that. And we've seen that kind of throughout the week now, you know, as after companies made statements, you've seen employees. I think I saw a tweet from one employee at Spotify who was calling out them for making the statement, but not doing enough to actually support Black creators that you know, sort of are powering their business, powering their website. So to me, one of the most interesting developments is that people are scrutinizing three things: corporate philanthropy, company and executive statements, as well as product decisions. Pressure is coming really from all sides, at least for now, at least this week. I think it's going to be interesting to see sort of how these efforts sustain, you know, in the coming months and years. But obviously, I think the most high profile instance of this is what's happening at Facebook. I think it was Sunday, Mark Zuckerberg announced that the company would donate $10 million to groups working on racial justice, which is one of the larger dollar totals that we saw committed last week. But I think if you've been following the news, you'd realize not all is well at Facebook.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a good example of making a commitment and yet maybe not dealing with underlying anger that exists at the company for other decisions.
Absolutely. And so Facebook employees, you know, said basically corporate philanthropy is not enough. And employees, their decision to leave up and not annotate President Trump's posts calling for violence against protesters. I think we saw an interesting contrast this week with Snap, you know, not as high profile of a company as Facebook. But we reported on Evan Spiegel's Snap CEO, his memo going out to employees that called on, you know, higher taxes for people like him, very rich billionaires, and a commission to explore reparations. And both of those are fairly mainstream Democratic positions, but it was still interesting, I think, to see it from a CEO. And to top it all off, on Wednesday, Snap did actually stop promoting Trump's account in its app. It's important, I think, to say that it's not just about the money here, but I mean, talking to Sherelle at the same time, it's important to point out that money is still pretty helpful too if it's given to good causes.
Right now, money is needed. Like, let's just clear the air on that. Money is definitely needed. We are seeing that the majority of the organizations that these tech companies are donating to are places like the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund, which is going to provide support for some of these protesters that are getting arrested and may not have the resources to have bail. So that's a pretty significant initiative. We are seeing some initiatives around the Black Health Alliance, which of course is extremely significant considering that we are in a global pandemic and Black people and Black communities are disproportionately affected and facing fatalities from the coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting statement by her because money is sort of the easiest thing for tech companies to provide, right? Assuming that they're profitable or feel like they have it there. So I can see why there's a bit of maybe anger or underwhelmed sensibilities from people in tech. They're thinking, all right, money is fine, but that's just one part of the equation, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't think that racial justice or, you know, issues around how cities, how police departments interact with Black people in those cities, that hasn't been like the top corporate or even close to the top corporate philanthropy issue. I think you saw Reed Hastings this week himself, you know, sort of someone who has given a lot to, I believe, immigration causes over the years. He actually committed a lot of money to sort of racial justice groups. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see sort of how this issue kind of falls in the hierarchy of sort of what, you know, sort of the new moneyed class in the tech world, sort of what they're actually supporting.
Okay, so that was Sherelle Dorsey from The Plug, but she wasn't the only person you spoke to this week, Corey. So what's next?
So we talked to Sarah Kunst, who is the managing director of Clio Capital, an early stage venture capital firm. She's a Black woman in venture capital, you know, one of the very, very few Black women in the VC world. Before that, she founded a subscription fitness app called ProDay. In this week, what I found is she was really trying to put in context what this moment means for tech companies and whether it will lead to sustained pushes for change. She remembers about 5 years ago when tech companies started releasing reports on workforce diversity and how that played out.
It was a watershed moment when companies started releasing their diversity data, and then they kept releasing it and the numbers didn't get better. And, you know, we really quickly realized that quantifying the problem, you know, wasn't going to help necessarily fix it. It certainly helps to know where you're starting from, but quantification on its own, you know, wasn't going to do much. People are realizing, you know, when they say Black Lives Matter, when they you know, post their statements of solidarity, whatever, when they make their donations to incredibly worthy causes, that's great. But, you know, it feels, I think, a little bit hollow to people when they look at their own lives, their own careers, their own companies, and see that, you know, they if they strongly believe Black Lives Matter and they're deeply, you know, upset about the circumstances going on right now in our country, then why haven't they found Black founders to fund? Why haven't they found Black employees? Why haven't they found, you know, Black investors?
I also talked to Sarah about diversity in venture capital. Black representation in VC firms is pretty tiny. And we found in the information's own annual diversity surveys of VC firms with $250 million or more of assets under management that only about 1% of partners are Black. And we've seen VC firms this week trying to make statements about funding more minority founders. We've seen some funds like Andreessen Horowitz and SoftBank spin up, you know, relatively small new pools of funds for minority founders. But, you know, it seems like this issue is still systemic. And I think Sarah is grappling with that.
There are so few of us, there are so few Black VCs, and there are even fewer women, you know, Black VCs that, you know, even though we all know each other, it can still kind of feel lonely. And so there are groups like Black VC, and, you know, even All Raise has done some efforts around getting more diverse people into venture capital. There are things like HBCU VC, you know, Code 2040. There isn't a lack of places to find people. And, you know, we are all extremely online, so we're easy to find. And everybody listening to this knows how to do it because you're listening to a podcast, right, about tech. And so it's just taking those steps and doing it. And I think it can sometimes feel daunting, right? We saw that a lot after Me Too, where a lot of times people knew what they should do and they could kind of figure out how to do it, or they had somebody, you know, telling them, hey, this is how you go do it, but they still just kind of felt overwhelmed because they hadn't done it before. And I think that the most important point is, just because you haven't yet, you know, hired someone, a Black person into senior leadership, you know, at your company, or because you don't have a Black person on your board, or because you don't have a Black, you know, venture investor at your fund, that's not a good reason to not do it, right? So realize, okay, this is an oversight and, you know, we're going to fix it, and then go fix it.
So when I listen to what Sarah is saying here, and also what Sherelle was saying, what really strikes me is that, and maybe this is an obvious point, but it's just coming clear so much now, is that this is so deeply embedded into tech and American, you know, society at large, that there's so much work that needs to be done to even make incremental progress. The more that I think about it, with tech specifically, you know, these are supposed to be new companies. You know, these aren't 100-year-old institutions that have been doing things the same way forever. These are supposed to be quick, adept, nimble businesses that should be able to figure out, this is a problem. We are not at all being representative of American society at large and the customers that we're serving. And yet they still haven't done it, which is, you know, even kind of more depressing.
Yeah, and I think over the years, there's always been these one-off episodes where, you know, companies have sort of been brought to task for their products or services, like discriminating against Black people, or not sort of, or just being built towards only serving one type of customer or one type of user. And I do think now we're going to see a more sustained effort to hold companies accountable to some of these issues. And I'm absolutely sure they're going to be held accountable internally as well. I think tech employees are also waking up to these realities. And that's what Sarah's kind of getting to here is this is in part why this issue matters, because of the products that these companies are building.
you get much more thoughtful products, and you know, you avoid a lot of the downsides that we're seeing a lot of these big tech companies have had over years, right? And this isn't new. Like, everybody from Airbnb to Uber to, you know, certainly Facebook and Twitter to Instagram, they all, you know, had different issues that are around, you know, how can they be inclusive products for everybody on the platform? And the intent of the founder and where the founder's heart is doesn't really matter if, you know, the outcome of what's happening on your app is, you know, hurting people. And so I think that there's such a massive need to acknowledge that, you know, tech is not the underdog, right? We are the dog, I guess. And, you know, we hold tremendous power because our products, you know, make the world run at this point. And so you have to think about this when you're one person alone, you know, hacking together an idea. If it works, you're going to be serving billions of people and impacting their lives. And one tiny change in your algorithm, you know, can make a huge difference. And so, you know, really being thoughtful about that from the beginning, I think, is the only way that we have the outcomes we want at the end.
And the last thing I would sort of say here on this topic is that everything is moving a million miles per hour now in the news cycle. And, you know, this episode is going to come out on a Friday. Who knows where the world's going to be again on Monday? Although my sense of things is that this is a sustained movement. And as reporters, I know that I hope to spend a lot more time digging into these topics and trying to get to the root of how we got here, you know, what needs to be done, and who are the people that are, you know, hoping to move it along in the right direction so that there can be meaningful change.
This is not the beginning of the Black Lives Matter movement. This has, you know, been happening for 5 years now. And I think, you know, sort of us as reporters, we do kind of chase, you know, sort of news cycles now in this like really collapsed time frame. And you know, I think in tech, this is going to be a continued storyline, and it's going to be woven and should be woven, I think, throughout all of our coverage. So I think also we'd love to hear from readers on this topic. We'd love to hear what, you know, kind of sort of racial justice issues we should be covering in tech. And, you know, this isn't going to be the last time, you know, we focus on this topic on the 411 as well.
Definitely. All right, Corey, thank you so much for digging into this, and thanks for joining.
Thanks, Tom.